Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am Terrell Jackson, and I'm joined with my younger brother, TJ.
What's going on?
What's up, TJ?
How you doing?
Taj is going to be here,
yes.
I believe, right?
Yes. Taj is, hopefully. He said he was.
Stuck in traffic.
Hopefully he's okay.
He'll be here.
Yeah.
Just running a little behind, but that's all right. We are live on the Power of Love radio show. So if you are listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in our show, we will open up the phone line, which you can call us. I have the number here.
I have it here. 323.
Go ahead.
Yeah. 323-203-0815. Again, you can call us at 323-203-0815.
So you can call us there. Or if you like, you can tweet us. Or, you know, ask questions, send your comments, thoughts on Twitter.
And until Taj gets here,
yeah.
I will be handling the Twitter.
I think Taj will be here by the time we get to that.
I hope. I'm getting concerned. I mean, he does show up usually right before showtime, but I don't know. There wasn't much traffic, so he shouldn't be this late. But
yeah.
The Twitter handle is at DDJ Foundation. Again, the letters DDJ, the word foundation.
There you go. Also, we have a disclaimer.
Yes.
You want to read that, TJ?
Sure. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you are going through. Saying that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us.
That is correct.
I saw Taj, by the way. He gave us a thumbs up.
All right, so he's coming.
So he's handling a phone call.
I think we covered everything. I guess we go on to the weeks.
Yeah.
Or the week, I should say.
Well, first of all, thank you for taking the lead because I woke up.
You're not feeling well.
Not at all. Like, I woke up, my throat hurts. You know when you just feel like drowsy and you don't have the energy?
Have you been sleeping?
I have.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I mean, not amazing, but nothing to complain about, you know? So.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I don't really get sick often. I just think it's my time, which is okay. I'm going to embrace it, and I'm going to do the best I can to get healthy as quickly as possible.
You'll be all right.
But, yeah, thanks for
coming in.
Yeah. I hadn't been in, I think, in a week or two, and so I just wanted to come in. But my week, what's been going on my week? Nothing much. Was September, you know, this is always shocking to me. I don't know. I haven't been doing much. You know, I went to...
you were in Nashville last week.
I was in Nashville last week doing music, and I just love it out there. It's so peaceful, and it's so accommodating. I love just the whole vibe of it. It's something I think, like I said, I'll always try to do. Mm-hmm. It's important. Had a couple kids back to school nights. Got to get my hair cut later today, so...
Right.
A bunch of stuff going on, but I just can't really pinpoint any specific exciting thing.
Any positives.
How about you?
I've been dealing with my home,
mm-hmm.
which I think I'm going to move from.
Yes.
I think I'm going to.
I think you should.
I've been there. I've been wanting to move for a while.
You've been there 21
since
years.
TJ, I've been there since
22?
A year after the Brotherhood World Tour or
so,
European Tour. I've been there since 98.
Yeah. Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, entering the studio, Taj Jackson.
It's
but
time.
It's
time, man.
So
I think it's a good thing.
It's going to be change, and it's going to be a good change. It's time.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's just been a really rough last three years dealing with the house.
Yeah.
Because I had an insurance claim, and it's just been a nightmare.
And
then I got robbed and, the whole deal. But I just want to move.
It's time.
And it's hard to get the house into a situation where it's presentable because I've been dealing with contractors. And no one finishes their work.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with all that. It's just been a lot. I know I'm rambling. But
mm-hmm.
So I'm dealing with that. I'm at that point where And I thought about maybe keeping it and leasing it out.
Yeah.
You know, which is an option. It's great to keep property if you can.
Yeah.
And I could probably figure out a way to do that. However, I almost just don't want any part of it anymore.
Mm-hmm. You want a clean slate.
Yeah. And it's even if I keep it and lease it out, I still have to overlook it, deal with it. And I'm almost, it's like, to me, it's like my version of Havenhurst, you know?
Mm.
And I always wanted to keep it forever. But at the same time, it's like there's no need to attach to certain things like that. Like you can let it go and build something different and build something new. And it's funny, when I bought that home, I was like, all right, I'll just be here a couple of years and I'll move on to something else. And I've been there a couple of decades.
Yeah.
So I'm about to make that change. No, I'm just kidding. I'm about to make that move.
That's good.
No pun intended.
Good for you.
Or maybe it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm dealing with that and a whole lot of shifts in my life, which has been adventurous.
It's part of life.
It's part of life. It's okay. But I've been losing a lot of weight.
I see, man. I've been watching you
on. Which is great, because normally when I'm going through stuff, I'm eating my emotions and things, but I'm not.
So what are you going
the other route.
Are you working out every day?
Pretty much. Like at least every time the kids go to school, I go on my walk, which isn't hard. Taj, I talked to you about this. It's not hard.
You're not running.
But I use a vest. Okay. I wear a vest, a 20-pound vest. I was for the first couple times I was running, trying to run, but it was hard. I was having like calf problems.
Yeah.
So I was like, don't force it. Don't run through it, because I was trying to be tough and run through it. And then it just created more injury. So then I was like, just walk it. So after I walked it, it was kind of easy. And I was like, let me get this, because I saw someone wearing a vest on Instagram. So I was like, let me get this vest and see what it does. And it's adds some weight. And it makes it more challenging, especially when I'm going uphill.
I just worry about what it does to your joints.
No.
Is it too much weight?
No, it's not too much weight. Yeah. And the funny thing is, it's like, I think about it. And when I put that vest on, I'm thinking, this is how much I used to weigh.
Oh, I see.
So I'm used to it.
Ooh, that's a good point.
You know, which is kind of disgusting, because I carry that vest. When I take it off, it's heavy. And I'm like, I used to carry all this weight with me.
I hear you.
So it's not hard. It's not really difficult. I did run with it one time, just to see if I could, but I'm not going to do that again, because I know that's not good for you anyways.
I don't like that.
But yeah, I walk with it. It's very easy. And then when I finish, I do my push-ups with it on, which is difficult.
You've always been that person that always goes way beyond what you're supposed to be.
You know what's funny is that this time I don't feel like I'm really working out.
All right.
It's weird. Like normally I like really go hardcore to get to a point where I've lost 20, 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Like I'll be almost obsessed and just really shut everything down, and I'm going to the gym twice a day, and I don't really even think I'm doing that. I'm just walking, and it's
simple.
And I'm eating a lot better too. And okay. I'm sleeping.
That's
I'm sleeping. I'm going to bed pretty much like
that's
an
a
hour
big thing.
After Bryce and Adrian go to sleep.
That's a big thing. Get your sleep. Have you thought about fasting at all?
Not yet. I want to drop another 5 pounds, because I've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
I want to drop another 5 pounds, and then I'm going to juice for like 10 days.
See, everything's so excessive with you. Why 10 days? Why not just do once a week fast?
Well, once a week, that does nothing.
Oh, it does a lot.
Well, maybe.
It resets your body.
The reason why I want to do it is, remember that time for Taj's wedding when I juiced for 30 days?
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember how I felt.
And you
I
liked did, that.
Yeah, I felt, a lot of people thought I'd be tired, and it just felt good. My body felt like everything in it was clean. And, you know, I was just drinking juice.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 to 10 days is a lot less than 30. And I feel if I do that, like your skin gets different. Your eyes get brighter. It's you feel different. So it's like almost a reboot. So that's why I feel in maybe 5 to 7 pounds or something.
Well,
I'll try that.
I think you're doing great. I think you're inspiring many people. I see your stories on Instagram. You're doing really well. That it stinks that mirror is gone, because I was looking forward to that picture.
I almost took it. It was being trashed.
Really?
Yeah, it was in the trash.
No, game. But I like the spot. That's the home.
The spot was good, right?
Yeah.
But a friend of mine was like, you should just take that mirror and bring it on home. I was like, that was a, it was funny, because I crossed the mirror. I was like, every time I pass it, I'm going to take a picture.
But you got to
I
see
it was gonna be gone
a bit of a transformation, which
was
nice.
Cool.
But just, you know, I'm proud of you, man.
It also showed me it's consistency.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's like you're not gonna lose it all in one day or in 1 week. Mm-hmm. But if you just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, it's going to show, and you're going to feel different. And I think I'm at my yearly, I am at my yearly low.
Yeah.
Probably my 2-3 year.
You probably feel low. The best too, physically.
Yeah.
It's great,
since,
man.
Since last year, I've gained 30 and lost 30 pounds.
Wow. Isn't that crazy?
Since our show in Paris.
You've gained 30?
I've gained 30 and lost 30.
And that's within a year?
Mm.
Yeah, that's not okay, man.
No, it's not okay. Okay. It's kind of crazy. But that's where I am.
Okay, well, congrats.
I'm actually lower than I was when I was at Paris.
Good, man.
I'm about 8 pounds lower.
Good. Todd Jackson.
Yes.
How was your week?
Welcome to the show, Todd.
Can you get close to the mic and act like a professional?
Yeah. My negotiations didn't go off well, so I'm here under protest.
Your negotiations.
The lawyers are still hashing it out, but yeah.
What?
He's just joking.
I'm saying, pretending that we get paid for this. My fee.
But you're here now, Todd.
I'm here now. Yeah, my week was great. You know, there was a premiere for a MJ documentary called Square One that I was in. It was great. It was actually a really good documentary, and I was happy to be there.
Are you in the documentary?
I'm actually in the documentary.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool, Todd.
Mm. Yeah.
I hadn't heard about it until I saw a post of the event.
It's going to be in England as well. They're doing another event, premiere. But so that was good. That was probably the highlight in terms of just, you know, we always talk about the highlight, and I know we're running out of time in that way. But yeah, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to bring it down a little bit, but we were all talking about highlights. I have to bring up a low light.
Yes.
A definite low light.
We lost a friend.
Yes.
A week ago.
Another dear friend from childhood.
And it's tough.
Yeah.
Part of the show. It's part of everything. But we lost our friend Henry Capana. Henros, as I would call him.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the producer on a Jackson's, what was the name of our show?
Jackson's Next Generation.
The show we did on Lifetime. He was the producer on it, and passed away, I believe, last week on Wednesday. Correct, Taj? Am I right?
Yeah, I don't remember which day it was.
Specific what day.
Yeah, I mean, this has been, yeah.
Yeah.
This is hard for me, because it's like, I know that we've had a couple of friends and whatever. This is a high school friend as well, not just the producer of
I
the
went
show.
To, Henry and I, we were the same age, and we were in the same class. We've known each other since we were probably four years old. And our school, Buckley, that we went to, we went all the way from nursery all the way to 12th grade. So, and I graduated with him, so I've known him a very, very long time.
Mm. Yeah,
and
definitely.
As well, my brothers, because...
Yeah, we used to go to when Avid only had like one track. There was these seminars, and Henry was like the only person that was kind of interested in it as well. And so we would go to these seminars in Hollywood.
Mm.
This is in high school. Mm-hmm. And so I got to know Henry very well from that, just because we had the same, you know, passion in film and TV. But this one hit me hard, because it was weird, because with Grandpa, I did want to see him while he was sick. Henry, I was debating it. Because only because Henry was such a powerhouse, and Grandpa was too, but Grandpa was older, you know. Henry was such a powerhouse to me, and such, like, you know, I've mentioned this to people, he was almost like my older brother, you know, like he was younger, but he acted older, and he presented himself, he had like a handle on life faster than everyone else did. And it hit me really hard, just because I kept pushing back wanting to see him. Just because I didn't want to see him that way, you know, and that was the hard thing, is that I didn't want to see him that way. And it's hard. It's a selfish thing, because I know he probably would have wanted to see me, but it's like, I couldn't see him like that. And just sick.
Do you feel guilty?
No.
Do you regret it?
I don't regret it. I feel bad that I wasn't there for his wife and Mia and Sophia, because I think they could have used the strength, but I did know that there was other people there, a lot of people there, so I didn't feel as bad, but I didn't see, my reputation is, people know me as pretty strong, at least. But I meant like, I'm you know, I don't really show emotion much and all that stuff, but it's like, so I didn't want to, you know, go there and lose it, you know, yeah. because then it would have been worse for them as opposed to helping them. Mm-hmm. You know, but I did write to me and all that stuff and explain that. But it's just,
it's terrible.
Henry was just, you could call him for anything and just talk to him. It's one of those things. I think that's the thing too. Complain to him about anything, you know, and he's always like, you know.
Well, it's just so devastating, you know, and just as a, you know, because he's more closer to you guys, but just as a family man, you know, it's always hard for me when I hear about anyone I know losing their life. I immediately go to their family.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel for Mia and Sophia.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hope that the family support will be strong. I know the friend community will be strong. We all loved Henry and love the family. So I just want to make sure that, you know, like it was with David, Strasia, and Clyde, that they know that we're here for them.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, this is the fourth passing from your grade.
I know.
And I was actually on Facebook.
This is
you saw that.
And my class only had about 40 people in it.
Yeah. And 40 people, and it's the fourth male that has passed early.
We've had Aaron.
And it's all cancer, Tara?
Aaron, yes. Aaron, Alan Narofshin,
David.
David Strasia, and now Henry Capana.
So I know that some of the Buckley alumni are getting concerned if there was something environmental at Buckley during that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and apparently there's been some others from the other classes, other years. And maybe there isn't any connection or any link, but Buckley's not a big school. Mm-hmm. So when someone loses their life in their early 40s out of the blue, it is kind of shocking and it grabs you. And this isn't your year's first time. This is the fourth time. So it's,
and they're all,
that's like almost one out of 10, you know? So that's very concerning. And I hope that if there is something going on that gets discovered and taken care of, so that no more from your class lose their lives.
It's really sad, actually, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I think that's obviously very important.
All right. Well, we love you, Henry, and
family.
Family, yes.
It
never gets easy. It's just never know what to say, how to say, when to say. You know, we're all still learning how to deal with loss and grief. Hopefully this show helps in just talking about it. But
it stinks.
It's always going to be difficult. All right. Well, we do have a topic for today. For today's show, and the topic.
I like this one, by the way.
Yeah.
Terrell found this topic right before showtime because we were counting on Taj to be here early to have a board meeting to discuss possible topics, but he didn't show up. Just messing with Taj.
I know.
By the way, I don't think you caught this, but I'm a little sick.
You tell me that now?
Yeah, you can't hear it?
Now I can.
I know. So now he's going to scoot over.
I'm 100% scooting.
But I'm keeping my distance. But go ahead, Terrell. What's the topic?
Yeah, the topic for today, 10 things that happen when you start to enjoy being alone.
Say that again. That's very...
10 things that happen when you start to enjoy being alone.
So you can enjoy being alone.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Of course.
Of course.
You guys, I think I know this answer, but some people fear being alone.
I think...
That you guys are alone.
Yeah, I fear being alone long term. But I don't mind having a day.
When you say being alone long term, do you mean like living alone forever type of thing?
Yeah,
going through life by
like
yourself?
A companion.
No, I think when I get older, I'd want a companion.
Yeah,
exactly. I fear the idea of not having a companion, and that's probably the reason why I love kids and have so many kids and love doing things with kids. You know, because I don't want to ever be in that position. But it's so interesting, though, because when I get a day, like something like when I was in Nashville last week, I don't get them much, but every now and then I'll try to schedule a day where I just do nothing. And I'm in my hotel room and I could read, I can hike, not in the hotel room, of course, but I can read, I can watch, like, you know,
some
watch
me time.
Movies.
You're
me
like,
time.
You're enjoying some
I
me time.
Do like me time. But for that reason, I do love being alone. But long term, no, I need a companion.
I feel that.
Yeah. I think that's normal.
I don't mind being alone. I think long term as well, that would be something that I wouldn't necessarily like. But I do cherish my me time as well, in terms of, because it's just, especially with chaos happening, you know, there's always something in our lives that we have to deal with. So my alone time is precious.
Yeah.
And I cherish it. So, yeah, but I guess after a certain period, you probably start, you know, missing, you know, companionship and all that stuff. But right now, I can't even think that way.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Let's get on with this topic then. 10 things that happen when you start to enjoy being alone. Some people think of being alone as a bad thing. It means you're antisocial or unwanted, neither of which are a good position to be in. But actually, being alone isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yes.
As there are a handful of benefits that emerge once you learn to embrace solitude. I'm not advocating you go all Tom Hanks in Castaway, which I've never seen. Have you guys seen that movie?
I have. With Wilson.
Mm. That's the volleyball?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've never seen it. Because no one can argue the benefits and the joy that come along with fulfilling relationships with other people. I'm thankful we're expending a lot of energy, trying to keep others happy, make them laugh, soothe their egos, read their emotions, and all of the other things that come along with the regular interaction. It can be mentally draining if you're constantly connected to other people. A little alone time lets you recharge and take a break from the emotionally and mentally taxing job of constant interaction.
Hmm.
Are these in any order?
I don't think they're in it.
That's my top one.
That rings?
Yeah, because that's the reason I do enjoy being alone. I've told plenty of people around me that you're like a battery and you have to recharge. You know, if you just keep going and going and giving, you're eventually going to deplete. Mm-hmm. And so I purposely do that. I have to recharge because you're only as good as you are for yourself. So I will go and recharge, and whether that's watch a movie, vegetate, whatever it is.
Vegetate?
Well, just...
What is that?
Did you mean meditate?
Vegetate?
Vegetate, sit around, lazy, do nothing, chill? Yeah,
yeah. Is that a real word?
I think so. Oh, that's wow. When he said vegetate, that's exactly what I would say.
Taj, look at you.
Yeah.
Vegetate means like...
But it's like...
Do nothing.
Yeah, which is... I equate almost to video games, you know, like, but that's like my time to like, just be like, okay, you know, this is me time. And so I love it.
Okay.
Nice. Thanks for sharing, Todd. Yeah.
I think it's very necessary to have, some alone time, some me time. And this is obviously, I think I've actually heard you say this, Todd, that you got to recharge, unplug, you know, from everything, computers, all of that stuff, if you need to. And just really take care of yourself, because you do spend a lot of time taking care of other people, especially when you have children. You're taking care of so many things. We do a lot of things every single day, and sometimes we can take care of ourselves last or not at all. And it's very important that you stop and take care of yourself. You know, someone said this to me last week, like, you got to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you got to remember
it. That
kind of mindset. Take care of yourself, and then you can have more to take care of others.
Care of yourself.
Yeah. So that was number one. You'll get to recharge.
Yeah. I'm not going to carry on, but I appreciate you sharing vegetate.
Yeah.
I never heard.
And
I'm actually impressed. You not only knew it, but you used it in a sentence.
And correctly.
Wait, let me educate the listeners real quick. Vegetate, live or spend a period of time in a dull, inactive, unchallenging way, similar to do nothing, idle, be inactive.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Jackson.
Oh, I love that part of my life. it's like.
So it's not as impressive since you do it all the time.
You got to know what the word is to what you're doing. It's because I think.
Look at this guy.
Recharge is important, because I also equate recharging with being selfish. A little about you.
It's a healthy selfish.
Yeah, it's about making what would make you happy. Mm. Whether it's, for me, it's like, it used to be Three
Stooges. I call
it
self-care.
Self-care. Okay. But if you're always giving to someone, it is being a little, positively selfish, you know, in a positive way, you know, because you can only give so much.
I just think there's a value in chilling. And you've always had that mentality.
Maybe it took a little bit too much.
Yeah, maybe a little bit too much. I never had that.
Yeah.
But I'm realizing the importance of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been a beautiful thing the last several years.
Called the burnout factor.
Yeah, and it's true. It's true.
All right, we're going to move on.
Yeah.
Number two, you'll reflect more often. Your life is always moving at a crazy fast pace. So fast, in fact, that it's probably rare when you have a moment alone to sit and reflect on your life. Being alone gives you the perfect opportunity for a little self-reflection. Since you aren't spending so much time processing the thoughts and feelings of others, it's the best time to turn your focus inwards. Solitude provides the perfect environment for reflection.
I love that. And I haven't really, you know, and maybe my answer to that has been long showers, because I'll take a long shower or take a bath for literally an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I'm either reading or self-reflecting, and that's probably my version of solitude. But it seems, and even like I said, when I go out of town every now and then, I try to schedule a day for me where I could just chill. But as I get older, I realize the importance of setting time aside for you to just do that. My question to you guys, I don't know if he'll know this, but maybe you will, Terrell, is that what meditation is?
Meditation is quieting the mind.
So that doesn't.
Yeah, so I would say.
But well, if you're quieting the mind, you're not thinking.
I don't think it's. No. So it's I wouldn't say that's meditating.
Okay.
Are you done?
Yeah, go ahead. Please.
I was just going to say that I was thinking about what I do for self-reflection.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that has helped me is walking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, walking has helped me a lot, and it's been an escape for me. And some days I will walk with music, or walk or run or whatever with the music. But lately, I've just been walking by myself with the quiet, and that's my alone time, so to say. And it's also been my time to self reflect, I guess. So I thought it was interesting that was there. And that's basically what I've been doing.
Mm.
And it's, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but I think it's always necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what, when I saw self-reflection.
And I think that's important to say, Charles, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but it's necessary. I think you, you know, but it's also a fine line. You don't want to get sullied and depressed off of thinking negative thoughts all the time. So I think you got to really approach it, and hopefully you're in a space mentally where when you do have that alone time and you reflect, and if you're going through things, you can turn that into a positive outcome and start thinking how you can recover.
I don't know if I self-reflect. I don't know if I self-reflect or if I'm always self-reflecting, because I don't take time to self-reflect. So either I don't self-reflect, like I've never like been like, let me think about my life, what, you know, I could have done better. Like,
you really don't?
I don't do that. But maybe I'm doing it constantly. Like maybe I'm always adjusting to the point where, so when a failure happens or a negative happens, that's when I self, like that's the minute or 5 minutes or an hour that I'll think about.
And then
it's gone. It's like, I'll never think about that thing again.
It's kind of like blissful ignorance.
It's, I knew what you were doing. No, it's literally letting things flow through you.
Like, yeah.
So you don't
which
hold
is commendable.
On to, which is, it's like water. It's like letting it. And I think that's one of the reasons why things don't stick to me and weigh me down, is because it's not that it doesn't affect me. It's just that it's like there's a certain, if you can't control it, what's affecting you, then it's just, it weighs on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly have not self-reflected. I'll tell you the times I have. After a relationship,
okay.
But it's always been like, okay, is it my fault? Did I do it? You know,
really?
Yeah. What was my fault on it? But then, you know, I'll go, okay, well, it's both. You know, there's two sides to everything and whatever. And
so
then
you don't self reflect at all.
No. For what?
Like I don't know, anything you're doing, whether it's a project, whether it's a interview, whether it's a
no. It's because, for me, I feel like this is part of the journey.
Yeah.
Every failure is like a learning experience to me. So I don't think of it as a setback.
But kind
of,
don't you have to self-reflect to just to label it a quote-unquote failure?
It's not a failure. It's a learning experience. So I don't think of it as a failure.
Okay. Well, to each his own.
I'm where I'm at now is exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Even if I'm not happy with where I'm supposed to, like where I'm at, like if I want to be, you know, doing bigger and better stuff.
Yeah.
It's where I'm at right now.
So it is what it is.
Yeah. Until I change it.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to number three.
Yes.
You'll get in touch with your own emotions is number three.
Yeah.
Again, when you're surrounded by other people all the time, you're constantly trying to read and cater to the other person's emotions, so much so that you could end up losing touch with your own. When you start to enjoy being alone, you'll gain a greater perspective for your own emotions. You'll create a deeper understanding of what makes you happy, what upsets you, and what saddens you. With that knowledge, it's then easier to regulate your emotions, but it all starts with understanding how you feel, and that comes from a little bit of solitude.
That's great. I think it's important too. You know, because you know, as time goes on, and it seems like more and more so in society, you know, your emotional health is getting more prominent. You know, so it's great to hear that solitude can help you discover that.
Yeah, we have a phone call.
Yes.
Who's calling?
Who's joining us on the Power of Love?
Power of Love. Yeah. Hello, guys. It's Toya. How you doing?
Hey.
How are you, Toya?
How's it going?
Doing great, thank you.
What's going on?
Yeah, I'm getting off a little bit off topic today, but I wanted to ask you a question about death and grief.
Yes,
you know, obviously it's hard for everyone when we lose a loved one, but it seems to me that it hits harder when it's unexpected and we are not prepared for it.
Yeah,
and that's weird because death is by nature unpredictable and ineluctable. So, you know, it's part of life and we have no control about it. And we all have to deal with death one day or another, but still it seems that we tend to forget that notion. We tend to ignore it until the day we have to face the loss of a loved one. And, you know, for some of us, it's just it's such a shock that they never get over it.
Yeah.
So my question is, do you think we should, as a society, should do something to get more ready or prepared for it?
We've talked about this. There's nothing that can, there's no class about loss and grief in school that I know of, you know, it's, I think there should be things like this, and that's why we wanted to start this foundation to contribute, you know, in some kind of way. But it's sadly, it feels like it's happening more and more. I don't know if it's because I'm personally getting older, but it seems like so much craziness going on in the world, and with just mental health in itself, it seems like we need to support each other more. There needs to be more there needs to be more communities and awareness of these kind of things and support because it's happening, and it's especially death and loss. It's part of life. Like you say, it's unpredictable and there are tools out there to help you navigate through it. But I don't believe that there's enough people or there's a place you can go or it's reaching the kids or the people where they can access these tools or they can be, you know, taught without, because nobody wants to deal with this. No one wants to talk about this.
It's a hard subject to talk about.
You know, TJ mentioned the topic, you know, possible topic today. And I was like, I don't want to talk about that. It's too heavy. You know, it's hard, you know, and it's not fun. It's a negative thing. And some can say view it as a positive thing, but nobody likes to deal with death, you know?
And let me add this, because Tori, you are saying unexpected versus expected. I think they're both very, very difficult. You know, even in Henry's friend's situation, Taj knew, was aware that he was going to pass soon, you know, and there's a difficulty in that because he has to go through each and every day with the idea that this could be the day my friend passes. I think that the difference is unnatural versus natural. I think when it's a natural passing, it's more easy to deal with versus unnatural. And, you know, in my opinion, it's mostly natural causes of death usually happen when you're older and you've really kind of lived a full kind of life.
So it's supposed to feel like
it's
that.
At least it's supposed to feel like that. So, you know, even in Henry's case, even though it wasn't unexpected, it was still unnatural. And I think that's why it's still equally as difficult as the quote-unquote unexpected.
So yeah.
That's my take.
But you know, I was considering starting to have regular conversation with my son about it, you know, just to remind him that I'm going to die. We're all going to die. Mm-hmm. Not to scare him or to make him feel sad, but on the contrary, to make him realize that we are both lucky to be there and to be alive. And I don't know, it may incite us just to enjoy the day more, to be humble and to cherish every moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tori, that's true.
And I think that's a great thing to do. I don't know if having a direct conversation about yourself not being there is the right way, but I think whether it's through animals, whether it's through butterflies, whether it's through insects, whether it's through paint on the walls, how it eventually goes away. That's just part of the process of birth and death. And I would agree with you that I think that is a concept that the younger they are to understand that, the better off they will be whenever that unexpected surprise hits them with whoever it is he loves. So I think that's actually a good idea. I just don't know if I would use you, because I know you are such an important figure in his life that I wouldn't want that to seep on his head. And, you know, because kids can sometimes run away with imaginations. And so just be careful with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the natural time usually when people do it is whether it's the death of a pet or whether it's the death of a grandparent or great-grandparent or something like that, where you have to explain to them, this is natural. Mm-hmm. This happens. Those are usually the end times to do it.
And to answer real quick, a lot of times when that happens, we ourselves are mourning and we don't really want to talk.
Yeah, that's,
you know, and that's pretty much everyone. Exactly. So we have to try to consciously make a decision to buck that and to speak about it to younger and to those we care about to help them learn how to grieve.
You did a good job with Grandpa with your kids during that time period.
It was interesting because I was the one that was hesitant mostly. And it was Bryce that wanted to go see Grandpa, wanted to go up, even because I've never done the open casket thing.
Yeah. Me neither.
He wanted to. Yeah. And because Bryce wanted to, I went with him, and that was the first time.
Wow.
So that was a different experience. That was a really – Bryce really took that differently.
Yeah, but it was good for him.
Man, it was
I hate to say it that way.
It was good for him. It definitely was.
And in our case, Grandpa was a good person for that, because it was he was close, but still, you know, Grandpa. It was a distant – it wasn't you, you know, it wasn't Bree. So it was good for him to experience that because it's a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real thing.
I think it's great, Tori, that you talk to your son about it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand Tedder's point, you know, using a time when a pet or somebody, you know, passes to use that time. But at the same time, sometimes.
You know why I said that, though? Because usually the kid will come to you.
Yeah.
In a way. I think I'm more concerned with what TJ said with. If you bring it up, sometimes they're like, what's wrong, mommy? You know, are you okay? Yeah. Like, are you healthy?
Yeah.
You know, that's the one. You know, because there's kids.
I'm not saying you bring it up all the time, but that's going to happen every 3, 4, 5 years. And it's,
if you want to
I don't think it's bad to remind people that it can happen and you have to live each day and appreciate things. And I think that's a great lesson.
It's a great lesson. But another part of what she was saying, which is an equally as great lesson, is, hopefully it will allow him to be more grateful and to respect the time that you do have together. And I think that's an important lesson that you achieve
Very
by
good.
Talking about that. So well done, Toria.
Thank you, Toria, for calling in.
You're welcome. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And TJ, I'm sending you all the good vibes and love for your,
thank you.
For your health.
Yes. I feel so down right now. I mean, not like emotionally, just like my energy's gone.
Yeah,
but I'm happy to be here. I'm grateful to be here, and it's good hearing from you, Toria. And thank you for sending that.
Thank you, Toria.
You're welcome. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oops. Sorry, Toria. Cut you off a little bit.
No, it's all good.
All right. Should we
great
go
call,
to
by the way.
Four? Yes, it was.
Thank you, Toria.
Number four, you'll start doing things you actually enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
When you're constantly in the company of other people, you're always making compromises in order to find solutions that the entire group can enjoy. And unfortunately, the things you want most may not always line up with what the group wants.
So true.
So it's easy to enjoy being alone once you realize that doing so gives you more freedom to do the things you actually want to do.
So true. So true. At least in my case. I mean, mm-hmm. I was just talking to a friend of mine in Tennessee about this. And what I was saying was, I think one of the things I love about going there, I get to go eat where I want to eat. Yeah. I get to go eat when I want to eat. I get to listen to what I want to listen to and not, you know, get any negative feedback. You know, negative is a strong word, but you know what I'm saying. I feel independent again, in control. And I think that's important for any, especially a parent who commits so much of their time to family, to get your own time, to get, yeah. you know, your space. I think it's huge to do. So I think this one to me,
That hits the chord.
This one hits the chord. Because I think it's one that we overlook. You know, if you're a parent and or you have, you know, a lot of obligations, you overlook this. And
I agree.
And it does play its toll. And there's nothing more fulfilling than to be able to do what you want to do every now and then. So yeah, great.
You have to
great
take
one.
Care of yourself. Yeah. And, you know, when how do you say this? When you don't have to split the tension or the decisions and it's just you,
mm-hmm.
you definitely get to you get to do what you want to do.
So we've been in that boat for a while, me and you, Terrell. But Taj, this is kind of new to you, I think, being a new father.
Mm-hmm.
Do you kind of, are you, because Taylor's what, 10 months, 11 months?
10
months. Do you kind of experience, you're thinking?
10 months.
It's 10 months. Do you kind of experience that? Are you feeling, I hate to say it this way, but a loss of yourself?
No. She's turning into us.
I love it.
It really is. I don't know what it is.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we're lucky because everyone's like, oh, she's going to sleep on her schedule. She sleeps on our schedule. Like she goes to sleep at like 1 a.m, 2 a.m, and sleeps all the way until we wake up. Like it's been weird like that, you know?
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll last forever.
Well,
but
I'm worried more about the teenage years, you know?
Ride with it.
Yeah. So right now she's kind of like, she's just copying what we do in a way. And I love that aspect of it, but no, I think the thing is that I've always loved giving anyway. So it's like now that it's about her, it yeah. kind of feels natural in that way. And it's just like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, loss of self? No, not really. As long yeah. as I get to, now, if I didn't get to do, as you said, like yeah. as it gets more hectic and you don't get to do this and that, you're going to be like, okay.
I think you'll balance it well.
Yeah.
I think you'll balance it for several reasons. I don't see you with a big, huge family. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. But I also think you'll balance it because you have a stronger understanding and a good grasp of certain principles.
What's that, really important.
That many people don't have.
Yeah.
You know, you're able to let go of things. You're able to really understand the importance of me time. Even when you talk about video games, you know,
yeah.
I'm one that's, goes everywhere with video games. Sometimes I love them. Sometimes I yeah. think they're terrible. But I like your position of it.
Consistent.
Even if it's an hour a day, it's like that kind of time to unwind and
100%.
Unplug.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
It yeah. is. And now that video games are more mobile than ever, it's mm-hmm. even easier to like on the go do something or whatever. I don't know. It's, yeah.
All right. Not bad.
Yeah, let's do number five. And then
we'll stop.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
we're getting
I love
we'll
this
do
list,
number
though.
Five, and then
it
we'll
is a great list.
Review. Yeah, it is. Number five, you'll become more productive. Being in the company of other people can be fun and entertaining, but it can also seriously affect your productivity. There are times when the company of other people act as nothing more than a distraction from getting your work done. Time spent alone can be some of the most productive time in your life. Mostly because there are fewer distractions, Mostly because there are fewer distractions and you can just put your head down and get to work.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of common sense, though. You know, if you have less distractions, less people around, you're going to get more, quote unquote, work done. You're going to be able to do what you know you need to get done. You have the ability to. So that's kind of, that's you know, a very predictable but strong benefit of being alone.
You know, it's interesting. I do feel more productive being alone sometimes in that way. Because I love being with a group and working together. But sometimes it's like being alone, you can get things done. in that way.
Well, I think also your position in that group changes.
Yeah.
When you're young, you're kind of still really learning. You're seeing different things. You're still forming ideas. But, you know, you're an old man, Taj. So you've seen a lot.
I'm a veteran.
So oftentimes you're probably being grouped with younger ideas that you probably like, okay, I already that's thought great. About that in the first minute.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm not saying you, especially you, Todd, you're not going to, be the close-minded, but maybe that's probably where it's like, all right, guys, let me save an hour of my life. I know everything that you're going to say. Maybe that's part of the, that's contributing.
Yeah, it helps. And so. I think age does help in that way. If if you've experienced it and you've really learned from it, then age can be wisdom.
And here's another thing. Since I already said that, I think if you do take that approach where you kind of feel like you already know the right outcome, it's still great to listen to every idea, because even if an idea doesn't work, you can spark another kind of variation of that idea.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So communicating and all that is good.
Yep.
But once you know what you need to do, solitude does help you become more productive.
Yes, it does. All right, well, let's quickly review. We only got through five. So let's just recap
though.
The five. Yeah. Again, 10 things that happen when you start to enjoy being alone.
Mm-hmm.
We only got to five, but let's review them. Number one, you'll get to recharge.
Which is crucial, especially in today's world.
That's my most important, because otherwise you burn out.
Todd, that's still your most important after hearing the...
Gerald, recharging for me is everything, because I honestly am a people person. So I'm always like,
taking care of others first. You're
trying to take care of others first. And so if I don't recharge, then I become like a mean, like grumpy person, like, you know, and it's usually from lack of sleep. Like that's the threshold. If I, you know, and I catch myself, but it's too late. Like,
but sometimes that's what recharging is.
That's what I'm saying.
Is being able to relax and get some rest.
Yeah.
So
I get snappy.
And number two. You'll reflect more often.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important.
Very important. Very important.
I've been doing a lot of that with my walks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken me to places years and years ago. But it's necessary. I think you need to.
But, Terrell, here's the deal. You probably wouldn't have went to those places mentally if you weren't alone.
No.
So the walking alone.
It is.
Yeah, that's great.
Very helpful.
That is good.
Number three, you'll get in touch with your own emotions.
Which is important.
I think that goes hand in hand with the other one for me, at least.
With the reflecting?
Yeah. It's weird. I do this every day with my walks. And I started off with music. But the last couple times, I either listen to this one tape thing or I'm just not listening to anything.
They're very comparable. But for me, the reflecting is more of a mental thing, where the emotion is obviously emotional. And I think when you're alone, you allow yourself to understand and grasp.
And be open.
And be open, understand, and grasp what your emotional state is.
Yep. Number four, you'll start doing things you actually enjoy.
Which is one of mine favorite.
Yeah.
Because if you are too busy, you don't get the chance to really take care of what you want to do. And if you keep, like in Taj's sense, if you keep giving, eventually, you know, you'll feel like, okay, but what do I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so being alone and making sure you have me time allows you to. And for me, I think traveling is the best way to do it. Explore and be in foreign territory and do your own thing.
And number five, the last one for today was you'll become more productive.
Which, again, is very true. Because if you're alone, you could handle your business. You know what you got to do. And you have an opportunity to get it done.
All right. Well, that was the first five of the 10 things that happen when you start to enjoy being alone.
Nice.
We'll continue the next 5, 6 through 10 next week.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it for the show. You guys know anything?
Yeah, this is a great list. Respect the importance of solitude. Don't think of it as such a negative thing. There's some great benefits, and I'm excited to hear the last five next week.
All right. Todd, you good?
Yeah, I'm excited to see the next part.
Yep.
Very informative.
See if I agree with it.
Thanks for adding that.
Well, all right. I didn't disagree with a lot this time around.
That's our show.
All right.
We'll catch you guys next week.
Thank you. Right. Adios. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.